At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. 7th Night for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7th Night for Hallis in your ears, you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal.
What's going on, 7th Night and Hallis fans? Welcome to another edition of the pod. As you can see, Flo's is not here. He is on the IR right now. He does not have the wrong bone, but he got a little cold right now, so he won't be on the pod. But I've got my homie co-host of I'm Not Gonna Hold You, Mikey, here with me to join as we're going to get y'all ready for the Bears-Cardinals game. A lot on the line this week, but of course, first, you can follow me on all social media platforms at BarbChairScott. You can follow Mikey at Junior_Solito on Twitter. And, of course, man, you can follow the Barbershare Network at BarbershareNet on all social media platforms. And subscribe to the Patreon, man, patreon.com/BarbershareNetwork. If you know, go to the QR code, man, it'll take you right to the link. And, you know, you've got all different tiers up on there. And, of course, if you subscribe to the $10 Barbershare access feed, you get a 10% off code. 25% off code on your first order at the Barbershare Network shop. That is bcnetshop.com, man. That is for first time subscribers only, man. And if you're listening to this on the chat, on the live screen, on YouTube, on Twitter, it is Wednesday, October 30th. If you're hearing this later on Patreon, we appreciate you. And if you hear this on the free feed, then it'll be on Friday the 1st, which means you need to pay your rent, nigga. But shout out to everybody watching. Shout out to Orlando. Said Flo's has Magic Johnson's immune system. That's very thing. It's very wild thing to say out the gate, but it's kind of right. He does get sick like 4 or 5 times out the year, man. But Mikey, how you feeling?
I'm good, bro. I told your brother, man, you can't be out here letting this 80-degree weather trick you, bro. It was just in the 50s, 40s last week, 30s even if you get up early in the morning.
Yes, it is the second to last day of October, and it is 80 degrees outside. I have the window open, and I have a fan on right now. This is not how it's supposed to be at this particular. We're all going to die. Basically,
I got the AC on right now, bro.
I don't blame you. Like last week, I had sweatpants on. I got shorts on right now, bro. It's like it's July again. But, you know, if you are younger, like if you're like 14, 15, y'all are cooked, by the way. And y'all are done. By the time y'all get of, you know, adult age, whatever. But we got a good show for y'all, man. We're going to get y'all ready for the game this week. Bears will be heading to Arizona, which I didn't know they're 3-0. In that stadium, which was interesting. All three of those games have been crazy, by the way. But also, that doesn't mean anything because the Bears haven't won an actual on Sunday road game in 3 years, which is a wild stat. 3-17 overall for Matt Eberflus. So today's practice got changed to a walkthrough. Well, I won't say changed to a walkthrough because they always have walkthroughs. They have walkthroughs before practice. Usually when I'm showing up to Hallis Hall, I can hear them practicing or leaving, you know, heading inside Hallis Hall in the parking lot. So they just completely skipped practice today. It was just a walkthrough. Flus later said that it was because they had so many injuries and, you know, they still wanted to get away to get, you know, reps in or whatever. I did not go today. I was not going to waste gas money it would take longer for me to get there than would have been the time I was actually there. So I was just like, you know, I'm going to sit out this week. But very interesting press conference from Matt Eberflus, as I did watch it regardless. And I always laugh because when it says, Sometimes I'll be sitting in a press conference room and I get that YouTube notice, press conference live now. And I'm like, there's nobody in front of me. And it'll be like another 20, 25 minutes before they actually started, man. But my overall thoughts on the press conference, man, I'm officially in Matt Nagy mode with Matt Eberflus. And what I mean by that is just like I'm tired of the press conferences he's having. I understand there's a lot of football. I mean, a lot of football. There's 10 whole games left in this season. A lot can happen, but I'm just kind of off Matt Eberflus. Whatever part of me that still was on him was very low, probably 5%, because everybody I've said he should go, Flo should go, anybody I'm not going to hold you said he should go. But I said almost about a year ago to this point, when the Bears only had one win, and DJ Moore had a hilarious answer today. He said, well, at least we better this time. This shit were last year.
Right.
Granted, the bar is in hell, but I did think that was funny. Last year with one win, everybody was talking about firing Matt Eberflus. And I was like, look, from everything I'm hearing around the building, they like that man and he's not going anywhere. And my guy Adam Johns from The Athletic, he reported the same thing. And I basically got called everything but child of God. I didn't say I wanted him back. I was just saying what's going to happen. And I still think it's a play for him to come back. But the actual press conference to me was wild off-putting. I think that changed it to a walkthrough last minute, I think was kind of a sign of the leadership of the coaching. I understand people are hurt. That doesn't stop any other NFL team from practicing because they got injuries, which I thought was interesting. And it also, to me, it kind of gave off, we've been spending the rest of the day having meetings. that's what I get. Maybe a lot more leadership meetings, which we should not be having multiple of those throughout the season. I didn't like how short he was with some of the media there. Oh, I answered that question on Sunday. No, you didn't answer the question on Sunday. And that's why people is asking to you again. And it just kind of feels like he knows that the seat is a little hot. And I feel like he's kind of taking it out on the media a little bit instead of actually owning up to it and saying that he's been accountable and everybody in this building is accountable. I'm like, this is bullshit. It's not. We wouldn't be sitting there having this conversation if you were. Mikey, what did you take from Flus's press conference today?
I'll circle back starting first with the practice. I mean, we have seen, I know there was a team last week, I can't forget who it was, but they did change their practice as well in the middle of the week to kind of a walkthrough just because they were so banged up. So it does happen in the league. When the injury report came out today, I didn't expect, 80%, 90% of the offensive line to be banged up. I did not know that Karan Amagaji was dealing with something. And it sounds like he's not going to be able to play from what you said. I knew about Braxton Jones. I knew that Tevin Jenkins got rolled up on. We obviously know that Bill Murray is been placed on season-ending IR.
Yeah.
So I'll shoot them some bail on that. But when it comes to the press conference, he gave a little bit of accountability and he kind of said it like, it falls on me, but it wasn't good enough. And it took days for that to come out. You can tell that obviously there have been some meetings there, I would say Monday, Tuesday, and even this morning on just reeling stuff in. What I found upsetting is I feel like he is still pointing some of the blame towards the players instead of himself. I personally, there's nothing that he can say that will change the outcome of what happened Sunday night. I think a lot of fans, they want to hear that, give me the lipstick on a pig and give me all that word salad and tell me that, you're accountable so you can reel me back in. But that does nothing for me. I know it does shit for you, for the majority of, Bears fans. That does nothing for me, 3 days after the fact. I needed to hear that Monday. I needed him to be, I needed to hear that Sunday after the game. But that just goes to point, prove the point of how unaware he is. I think he's obviously in over his head when it comes to just controlling the 53-man room in the total operation. Great defensive corner. I mean, I wouldn't even say great defense. I think he's really good defensive coordinator. He's starting
a solid
defensive coordinator. One thing I would say is he definitely does get a lot out of his young players. The young players on defense have gotten better under him. and the veterans do buy in. But when you start to see, you know, the core, you know, the core four, when you start to see the Avengers of the locker room, the main dudes, the Captain Americas, the Iron Mans, the Jalen Johnsons, the DJ Moores, when you get the Kevin Byard, that's somebody who is a seasoned vet, an all pro, a pro yep. bowler in this league, you know, over multiple years. Cole Kmet, who I've become, you know, I always fuck with Cole. I felt like we weren't
I'm utilizing him right. I'm a big fan of Cole now, yeah.
Hey, yeah. Jalen Johnson. You my yeah. guy, bro. I'm yeah. fucking with Jalen. Hey, it took yeah. me a while.
It took you a while to join us. But
it took me a while. It took me a while. Yeah. But I really do have a lot of faith, and I do fuck with what those guys that got that C on their patch are saying, you know, week in, week out. And you can tell, you know, Jalen, Cole, they've been here through. They were here for that last iteration of the Nagy, Ryan Pace era where they
were the last two Pace draft picks. Yeah.
Their last two. So they got a little bit of success in not success, but they got to at least get to the playoffs yeah. and see that against the Saints. And then they had to go through terrible, you know, something you never expect when you're like, okay, I'm playing with Khalil Mack, everybody, and I'm none of those guys are here.
Yeah.
So I like where they're at in assuming the leadership role. I just wish that the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the GM had as much accountability publicly that the players do.
Yeah, and I had one of the followers on the page. He hit me. He responded. Was like, "Yo, I don't know what y'all want to do. Y'all want him to go up there and be down and out?" I'm like, "No, I don't want that. I just want him to ask the questions that the media is asking." Like you said, right now it's a little bit too late. I would have loved for him to have better accountability on actually them losing. If you look at the greatest coaches, right, when they lose, when the Steelers lose a game, you don't see Mike Tomlin Thank up you. There. You know, losing. You know, when the Patriots used to lose, yeah, Bill Belichick be short, but Bill Belichick ain't gonna blame nobody. Bill Belichick, like we play like shit, like you know.
Bears fans are not used to dealing with a bad bitch,
right?
treat this team, treat yeah. this season, treat the trajectory that Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are trying to yeah. take it to, with you know, implementing Caleb, getting that. Treat this like a bad bitch. Y'all yeah. are settling for. I fell asleep early last night. No, you're getting your back blown out last night. That's what right. happened. You need to be accountable. Mike Tomlin would never let that shit ride.
Yeah.
And Bears fans are so – that's what I meant on Monday's pod on I'm Not Gonna Hold You. When I talked about the media in Chicago, it's really lax compared yeah. to other major markets, you know, such as Philly and New York, because they would grill him. It would force him. You yeah. know, to really kind of come out and try to catch you to, hey, speak the fuck up because we're not dumb. And I feel like, you know, Bears fans, they want to – there's a sense of Bears fans to me that are also kind of run like mom and pop shop.
100%.
Fandom, you know, yeah. like you're cool taking the bare minimum like, oh, no. You need to strive for better. And if that's where we're going –
I think the bad bitch comparison is perfect. Like, you have to have higher expectations. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to have a team that's going to be going into this new era, you've got a franchise quarterback, you got a general manager, even though he does have his faults, and we'll get into that in a minute, has done a pretty good job, I think. You got to have high expectations, you know, for Matt Eberflus. And I'm not saying – I mean, I'm out on Matt Eberflus, but Matt Eberflus very much has a chance to save his job. And I think that's something that, you know – that our guy Greg Bragg said, Bragg's a little bit, way more optimistic than I was. But I there's 10 more games left. Do I have faith in these 10 games? No. It's not that I don't have faith in the talent. And even Shane Waldron, as bad as he has been, I'm still giving him more grace than I'm giving Matt Eberflus. We got let me explain about what I mean by giving him more grace. Matt Eberflus has 3 years of playing evidence. And True. Also, one thing I do want to know from Getsy to Waldron, I want to know how much influence does Eberflus have over the play calls. And that's not me shooting Waldron any bail, but you see a lot of the same stupid stuff that Getsy used to do that Waldron does the same thing as well. So I kind of feel like you have to expect more. So I wasn't expecting him to go up there and, you know, be downtrodden and things like that. Answer the question. Just be like, yo, we fucked up.
Yeah,
I fucked up. And, you know, it is what it is. Like, and I do like the things I've heard from other players. I love from T.J. Edwards when he said, yo, the season ain't over. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got
to – I lost in the Super Bowl before.
Yeah, I lost. Like, right.
That That was a bar.
Exactly. He said, I was born in pain, nigga. Like, y'all don't know what it's like.
I was molded by it.
I was molded by it. You know, even I love Caleb's energy today. Caleb, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing we can come up here and say that's going to change Sunday.
I love Caleb. I love Caleb's answers today. And he, honestly, whether you want to say media train, whatever, listen, he's wise beyond his years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to Billy Ice's comment, I agree. He 100% is way more advanced and it doesn't affect him, you know.
Yeah.
Today he was asked, you know, about so many players strongly voicing their opinions, you know, publicly.
Yeah.
And he says, something I go by myself is that okay teams, nobody leads. Good teams, the coaches lead. And the great teams, the players lead. We have to find ways to be better for ourselves. There were plays in that game where we have to execute. Whether my drop is wrong or the route depth is wrong or the hand placement or your helmet isn't across the defender's chest so we can get him moving and cut up. There are a lot of things that the players, first and foremost, can correct. You always have to look at yourself before you start pointing fingers and doing anything like that and make sure you're doing things right. That is, you would think he's been there 5 years. And
yeah, it don't sound like a rookie.
You would think that that wasn't his first time losing off of some fluke Hail Mary shit, you know? Like, so I really do like that. Like I said, I love everything that I'm hearing. Also, we're going to call it like it is. How you said, Matt Eberflus has, you know, 3 years on his resume, his track record of questionable decision making. I believe they said that it was something crazy, and it wasn't even like facetious. It was true that the probability of the Bears losing the Broncos game, the Browns game, the Lions game, and the Commanders game at the, you know, with the score being what it was and the time was literally 1 in a million.
Yeah,
and he's lost, and he's found a way to lose all four, and to be a hand in losing all four. For all of us to question that, I will still go back to the players, and Tyreek Stevenson was tweaking, and obviously there was a lot of mix-up, but it still falls on you. How do you not have the composure to call a timeout before that?
Yeah,
I don't know if you're – I'm pretty sure I know you were at the DraftKings Sportsbook. I don't know what time you were there at that point, but at the end of the Browns-Ravens game, Kevin Stefanski blew 2 timeouts within the last 30 seconds and then a timeout before the last 2 plays to ensure
that his guys
knew what was happening.
Yeah, I had that on in the car right when we were about to pull up, which is funny. You know, it's funny about Wrigley Field. They got that TV out there.
Yeah.
Niggas was on the street for, like, the entire first drive. He's like, all right, we'll go in when this first drive is up with the Bears, when they completely – did what the Bears do in opening drives. But you're right, they had 3 timeouts. 3 timeouts. And what stood out to me the most about players speaking out this week, I love Jalen's spot on Holmes and Spiegel every week. And I think he does a real good job on there. But when Kevin Byard told us on Monday, you know, in the Zoom that they had on Mondays, which is a new thing. They didn't do that last year. I think they only do that now for Mondays road after road games.
Yeah, that's what I was reading.
Yeah, so he was up there like, yeah, you know, I talked to Flus, you know, he had his thoughts about it. But, you know, if you got one of your captains and he's saying that, if you have 3 timeouts, bro, use them. 3 timeouts. But I think the thing that really kind of made me angry through this whole week was the comment on the Terry McLaurin play where he said it doesn't matter. Like, that set up the Hail Mary. And even when it's setting up the Hail Mary, if you watch the NFL films, version of, you can hear Caleb say it's short. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was still short. It was still short even after 15-yard play. So imagine if you don't give that up. And
that ball's at the 20, 15.
Yeah, yeah.
With everybody blocking, you know, the end zone.
I don't understand why there wasn't somebody down there. And I think on the final play, like you said, with Ravens and Browns, that's how you defend a Hail Mary at the end of that play. That's how you defend that. He should have never been that open. And I just think, you know, I want to go to the Ryan Poles element to this, the Kevin Warren element about this. Alex put in the chat, if Kevin Warren is serious about trying to build a winning culture and be comfortable about trying to build a winning organization, then he keeps going on, Flus has to go. I agree to that. I don't know if because
I don't agree to that shit because his ass ain't even serious about building a stadium. People need to realize Kevin Warren is there in the same capacity as Ted Phillips. It is about the stadium and all things stadium, political, dealing with state legislator. He's not there making any football decisions, man.
Well, then that goes back to that responsibility being on Ryan Poles. That's responsibility being on Ryan Poles. And I've been in road games and I've seen, you know, the general manager. I've seen Poles and Ian head down to the locker room early. I still think it's just, you know, there's no way you can explain leaving that early with that play. But we'll never know what kind of conversations are happening right now. Like Albert Breer said, like Mark Florio said, coaching conversations happens months before they happen. So I really wish I knew the conversations that were happening at Hallis Hall about Matt Eberflus's job security. I don't think it was any coincidence that Ben Johnson news dropped this week. I don't think that was a coincidence at all. I think if the Bears win on Sunday, we don't even find that out. I think that was very interesting that did hit out. But how would you be – what are you looking for from Ryan Poles? Like, as far as, like, you know, obviously he's not going to say nothing right now. We're not going to hear from Poles till the season's
Sunday,
on.
Sunday. Till Sunday. He does speak. He
oh, speaks oh yeah, every, on the radio. Yeah, the pre-radio.
So like, I'm really looking forward to that, like, you know, because – he speaks before, you know, the games on Sundays. With
yeah, I forgot about he'd be on ESPN.
Deion Miller.
Yeah.
So I want to hear what he has to say because I would have liked to have heard him today. I know that's not how it works, but I would have liked to have heard him today. I thought it would have meant something because there is a lot of noise, you know, outside of Hallis Hall and nationally about what took place Sunday night, about who's to blame, about the play calling. Like, everything was put under a microscope. If you wanted to paint a terrible picture, the Bears did that on Sunday.
100%.
Terrible first three quarters offensively with a rookie quarterback. Terrible play calling once you got down to the red zone. You know, obviously how the game ended and those mistakes. You got people like Rex Ryan, Dan Orlovsky saying, like, This the Bears lost 100% because of coaching. So I felt it would have been good to hear him, but obviously we'll hear him on Sunday. Now, to what degree he's willing to go, it's not like his normal, you know, long-winded press conference. We'll see. But what I'm looking for out of him, honestly, is a real self-evaluation of this franchise. Of you always have to look at where you were.
Yeah.
Where you're at currently and where you project and where you're trying to go. And if you break up the seasons into quarters, you know, we're already halfway through.
We're halfway through quarter two right now. Or Lovey Smithers, I like to say. These different quarters. So yeah, this last game. After this game on Sunday, that's in the quarter two.
Right. And did you hear Flus today when he said, Arizona Cardinals are good. They're 3-1, just like us. You know, like he's always trying to kind of pump that in there. Like, yeah, they're 3-1 in their last four, just like us. Like, come on, bro.
Like, come on, dog.
We're talking about Sunday. So yeah. I just want to see from him a real self-evaluation, obviously, of the roster. I don't know how you can look at this O-line and not think that you need almost four new players on the O-line.
Right. Darnell Wright's the only one on there who you like. He's 100% coming back next year.
100%. Now, in doing that, you also need to be honest with your coaching staff, what you're seeing preparation-wise, week in, week out, and what you're seeing on game day. And you never want to give up or you never want to say your team doesn't have a chance. Because I think with number 18 back there and with our defense, we are going to have a chance to be in every game. We have not been blown out once. And it's true. Just look at the scores. Does he think and does he view this team realistically and say, this team isn't ready for a playoff push? Maybe I don't go all in and I'm making a move, you know?
I mean, I personally hope he doesn't make a trade because the reason you just stated with the offensive line. You're going to need to spend a lot of resources, them picks. that pick you're getting from Carolina is going to be basically a first-round pick.
It has a very good chance to be the very first
pick in the second round. You're going to have money. Maybe you have to spend some money for agent-wise. You're going to have to do the thing. I am interested to see, you know, Ryan Bates' 21-day window just opened up. I don't think he's going to play this week.
I would say probably pack a game.
Yeah, probably pack a game. I think they're going to get him all the way ready. But I'm still interested to see how he's like long-term, what that's going to look like. But I, of course, we're not going to know right now. But I want to know, is this something where Flus can save his job? Or maybe he's just like, look, he already screwed the pooch. Because me personally, we both said this on Monday.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We were all debating the percentage chances of making the playoffs. I think they fucked themselves. I've changed my opinion from 10-7 to 8-9. Even if they did make the playoffs, right? Let's just say they do go 7-3 in the next 10, which with this coaching, I don't see that being an option whatsoever. Anything short of NFC Championship game, I would fire Matt Eberflus. Now we all know the Bears don't move that way. The Bears don't move that day, and I think that me personally, not anything I've heard. I think if they win like 9 games, I think the nigga's coming back. I think he's gonna come back. And worst case scenario, if they do fire him, I don't think Ben Johnson's happening. I know Bears fans don't want to hit us, but Mike, you brought this up in the chat. Peak Bears would be, you know what? We was tripping on Cliff Kingsbury. Let's make that nigga head coach. Or you know what? Caleb, you really like Lincoln Riley? Let's see how much it costs to get him into the NFL. That's I don't see. I would love for Ben Johnson to be here next year, but that's just not Bears.
No, I agree with you 100%. With me, though, Bro, I don't think Flus is on the hot seat. I think he is with us as fans. I don't think he's on the hot seat. If he wanted to fire him and move on, he could have done that in January when there were elite level coaches available.
Yeah.
You had Mike Vrabel, who has obviously won some games, been to an AFC championship game. You had Bill Belichick. Obviously, we know that's not Bears. You had Harbaugh. You had Dan Quinn if you
don't want Paul's job.
Right. You had Dan Quinn if you wanted to right the wrong that you made from 3 years ago and choosing Flus over Quinn. You had options there. Shit. If the report from Albert Breer is true that Ben Johnson really wanted the Bears job and it just didn't come available, you had the opportunity to pay your rookie quarterback, rookie wide receiver, all these weapons with Ben Johnson, and you did it. Now, maybe you want to give Flus that grace. I don't think – I think he genuinely fucks with Buddy.
I do 100% he does.
I think he genuinely fucks with Buddy. I also think there's some Buddy ball shit, you know, Trace Armstrong being, you know, the agents, they want to come in. And, you know, and the moment you fire a coach as a GM, now the clock starts ticking on you.
Yep.
So I don't think he wants to do that and kill any of that goodwill.
Here's a question for you, though. Like, he's not on it right now. Obviously, there's 10 games left, a lot of football. Do you think that he can get on it? Like, they lose Arizona. You're 4-4 now. You think there's nothing that can happen this year to put him on the hot seat?
I think if they're under 500 by more than 2 games, then yes.
Okay.
I think, you know, when you look at it, you know, and Alex said, are we sure Pose is willing to go down with the ship for Flus? I don't know. The ship is not going down. If the ship is going down, Pose has already got the life raft. He's in the helicopter waiting. Yeah. Like
he's doing like George Bush did to Katrina. That's Ryan Pose right now.
100%. The fans got to put shit into perspective. When Poles came in, he automatically said, hey, Khalil Mack got to go in that salary. We'll eat that damn money.
Robert Quinn. Keem
Hicks, Robert Kim, Robert Quinn, Danny Trevathan. You know, all of those people had to go. For a moment, the only lone veteran that was left on that defense was Eddie Jackson. And he went and peeled that Band-Aid. The ownership and Kevin Warren, when he came in, they all signed off on this. They signed off for what we saw the last 2 years, the 3 wins and the 7 wins. Yep. They tried to give Justin a fair shot, and they did. I think
the injury screwed Justin. That's what I think.
I don't think the injury screwed him. I think regardless, the fact that the Carolina
as far as screwed him, where I feel like his chance ended earlier than it probably would have.
Yeah. I think in October, I think this time last year, we had already made up our minds. Like, it's a dub for Shorty.
Yeah,
and you know, then they got blessed with the pick. I like how he's built the roster. I do not like the neglect on the offensive line and trying to piecemeal it with, with backup people. Does ownership want Flus back?
I got to answer. Ownership, yeah. Look, let's see about ownership, yo. Joe Cassie is a cool dude, nice guy. He says hi every time I see him. He's a cool dude. But that nigga is who's my man from Succession? He's Conor Roy, bro. Like he's
100%.
He is George McCaskey is Conor Roy, bro. He's letting Poles and Kevin Warren tell him what they should do.
We do not have Mark Cuban as the owner.
Yeah, exactly.
We do not have a billionaire who's got an ego and pride and is just gonna spend to be a champion. You know, we don't got Steve Cohen. We don't got people that get salty because shit, we're not winning. This is what it's been for, you know, we're 30. I'm 35
as much as senile as he is, we don't have a Jerry Jones.
You
don't have that. So, and that's why you've always seen in these press conferences since they've hired Ryan, since they've hired Kevin, George McCaskey always says, well, you know, I listen to Kevin and Ryan. He's owner in name only.
100%.
Ted Talk Kevo and Ryan Poles run that organization. That's just really what it comes down to. And I, like you said, one thing that Bears fans don't want to hear is what you just said, Mikey. Ryan Poles likes this nigga, Matt Eberflus. Not only does he like this nigga, he really thinks he's a good coach.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He said, maybe I'm delusional. Look, I'm going to be real with you, boss. This front office don't care about losing the Green Bay as much as the fans do. If they lose the Green Bay and they can still find a way to win 9 games, and even if they barely miss the playoffs, they're going to take that barely thing and they're going to run with it. Oh, well, you know, we had a rookie quarterback. Shane Waldron's never worked with rookie. I know Bears fans don't want to hear this. I said this last year. It is what – that's just how this franchise runs.
They'll do the Jerry Reinsdorf, dangle the little carrot in front of your face of, oh, but we got a rookie QB. So next year when we add – and then, listen, we're going to continue to be Green Bay's bitches until somebody mans up and they act like they want to be better than them and they want to move like they're better than them. Like I said, act like you want to fuck with a bad bitch. Like, you know, and it's upsetting, and I think that they are tough enough to stay in games. We've seen that.
Yeah.
But as we look back, you know, hindsight is 2020. You look at the schedule in May, and you're like, oh, shit, WWLL, this is tough.
And that's why I said in the summer, I don't care. I kept telling Bang, because Bang kept saying strength of schedule. I was like, I don't care about strength of schedule. The NFL is a year-to-year league. We don't know who's going to be good. Now you look at it, they have the toughest schedule left.
But look back at – at the schedule, with everything that we know, the Houston Texans ain't on shit.
They're not.
The Texans game was winnable.
Yep.
The Colts game, obviously, we already know the Commanders game was won until it was lost.
Yep.
Like that schedule, that first half of the schedule, and I think that's why players like DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, all these people are pissed. It's because they legitimately feel like they should be 6-1.
6-1.
You don't think DJ Moore, the reason he was throwing that tantrum on Sunday night is because he doesn't think that the Bears are better than what the Houston Texans were putting out there? Let's be real. The Houston Texans put up 19 points. They had one touchdown and a bunch of field goals.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, even look at this last game. Like, Like I said this on Monday. Yes, I do think Jaden Daniels is a really good quarterback. I think he's having a better rookie season than I thought. And honestly, if you go back and run the tape, for everybody who think I'm Commanders haters, I think everybody's on the show said the Commanders were going to be the fun team this year. I think everybody said that they're going to be the fun team this year. I didn't think Jaden was going to be this good. Having said all that, injury aside, this defense, it was bend but don't break. He was getting a lot of yards, but they weren't scoring. So the defense is
but what Caleb said, and it kind of was what my point the other day. They were doing just enough to get those three because we couldn't muster up anything.
Oh, hey, I'm not talking about, I'm just saying defensively. Just defensively, that's why I said they're gonna be in every game. They're gonna be in every game because of defense. And Caleb, and I know we got, I know people don't want to, we got to be taking small things, but that fourth quarter, man, he woke up. He won the game twice. He won it twice. If they do the right things. So with Caleb and with that defense, they're going to be in every game. They're going to lose. He said, if they lose on Sunday, do you think the locker room? I don't think it's going to fracture off one loss. But if this team, who like Mikey just said, thinks they should be 6-1, if they miss the playoffs, if you want in, if they're a Bears fan and you want Flus gone, the best you can hope is for the leaders of this team polls and the end of season meetings, like, yo, he got to go. That's the only thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the only thing, because besides that, I hate to say it, but it's probably going to be on the same thing. So imagine they're around Caleb, they knock down to him. I mean, if they knock down Hail Mary, I don't think Caleb's – I don't think the story changes that much. I mean,
nah,
I think
they would have said that he led them on at least a game-winning drive, and they scored within, you know, the last minute.
I feel like
we would have been talking about that.
Oh, I would have been talking about that.
We would have been talking about it. I mean, because even then, from just that point of view of what it took to get down there, and then you'll look back on it and you'll see, damn, he led them to three scoring drives, moved the ball, then DeAndre Swift did the rest, got them down to the 3-yard line, and then the shit was pulled from
one of the dumbest.
I think the dumbest play
I've ever seen in my almost 30 years of watching football. But
you know what it is? It's the dumbest play since Eberflus last year decided to go for it with Khalil Herbert against the Broncos instead of taking the three.
Or you can go back to the Colts game this year.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go back. They execute on that. They win that game too. But moving on to Arizona, let's talk about what's on the line for Arizona. This Arizona is a weird team to me because – 1 week they can look like the greatest offense ever. The next week they can look like these niggas have never played football before. They played much better these last couple weeks. They are in a 3-way tie for first place in the NFC West, along with the Seahawks and along with the San Francisco 49ers. Marvin Harrison Jr. had a big game last week. They were able to beat a somewhat as healthy as the Dolphins have been all year. And they're home. I think that I said all year this is a loss on my list, and I haven't changed my opinion on that. But I do think that the small hope they have to make the playoffs right now, they got to win Sunday. If they don't win Sunday, I don't think they have a chance in hell to make the playoffs because they're not going to win a division, and then you're going to look at tiebreakers. Let's just say the Eagles come back and win the NFC East, only a game behind. They are the favorites right now in Vegas to win the NFCs. That means the Commanders are going to have the tiebreaker over the Bears. And if you lose to the Cardinals, if the Cardinals don't win their division, they have the tiebreaker on the Bears. And no matter what happens, we'll see what happens in the division games. The other two, there's going to be at least three NFC North teams making the playoffs.
You lose to the Cardinals, you're all intents and purposes, you're cooked unless you win out.
Yeah, you're cooking, which we know is not
going to happen. And you get help. You win out and a and team like the Commanders beats the Packers or something.
Yeah,
you're
going to need the nigga who will be on election day breaking down all the different scenarios.
My man, John Kornacki.
Yeah, you're going to need John Kornacki to know the different ways the Bears can get in the playoffs. That's why this Sunday is so important. This Sunday is so important. DJ Moore said we have a chance to show, our resolve and see how we can bounce back from a tough loss. But what's your feeling going into this game, and how do you want to see him come out, or how do you expect him to come out?
I would feel better about this game if Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker were healthy and playing. Jaquan Brisker is going on 4 weeks now. He's been out, including the bye week. He's still not been cleared. You know, if you can't even go through walkthrough, then which today basically was, then that's not trending good for him. Kyler Gordon, if he's not on the field tomorrow, at least in a limited capacity, and the same on Friday, then he's probably not going. And I just do not like the Bears going up against dual threat quarterbacks that can lean on their legs. We've seen Anthony Richardson break contain on us a couple times and extend plays when we played him. We obviously seen what Jaden Daniels did, and Kyler Murray poses that threat, and they're playing with confidence. So for me, you know, I'm a betting man, and I look at the odds and I look at the statistics. You know that when you tell me that somebody is 0-16 in 3 years on the road on Sundays, when you tell me that they're 3-17 in road games under Matt Eberflus, when you tell me those road games were against Sam Howell, Bailey Zappi, and Joshua Dobbs, that just doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me. I know the defense will show up. I hope the defense will show up. I hope that we get a spirited effort from all of those guys and realize that we fucked up. But unless this team can take the ball away and create some short fields, I just don't know how they're going to go into Arizona and pull out a W. This is not going to be an easy game. There is going to be a large Bears presence there. Yeah. But the Cardinals are 4-4, tied for first place in their division. They've won some big games this year. They played a tough game against the Bills on the road, and they had them. They were up big, and the Bills came back. They've played tougher opponents than the Bears to date. You know, I don't know. I think it's going to take an all-around three-phase effort, and that's offense clicking right away. I think this is a game where we might be able to lean on the run because that is one thing that the Cardinals are susceptible to. Open up some play action because we've seen that's when Caleb's at his best. Defense stifle, you know, they're pretty decent in pass defense and pass coverage, just the run game. So that's Kyler and James Conner. It's going to take special teams. You need booming punts. You need some takeaways. You need to flip the field. Like, this is going to be one of those gut checks and to see what everybody has up in Hallis Hall for this week.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it for all the reasons you named, and also because I just don't have faith in this offense put together a complete game. Like, none of my worries really have anything to do with the defense. Yeah, Marvin Harrison can get them for a play or two. Kyler Murray historically has played pretty decent against the Bears since he's been in the league. But I think that the defense, even without Kyler, even without Jaquan, I am concerned about Montez Sweat's shin injury. We'll know more about that tomorrow, Friday, if he practices. Maybe it was just precaution today because it was, you know, walkthrough. But if he doesn't play, I'm nervous. But I think they'll be good enough to make it a winnable game. I just have no faith in Shane Waldron to call a consistent enough game plan.
I'll take it even surface level than this. How comfortable do you feel knowing that we do not know what the O-line will look like this Sunday?
And that's another problem. That's another problem, too, where I feel the weaker opponents that we went against, maybe some people forgot about how the problems of this offensive line. And they came back to fruition this past Sunday when I went back and rewatched the game again. It was back to the same stuff we saw the first three games with Caleb not having any time to throw. And the times he did have to throw, he made good plays. Offensive line is not a problem that's going to be solved by, you know, this season. It's going to be an issue forever. And I don't have faith in the coaching staff to work around that as much as they can. So that's why I don't feel good about it. I think that Caleb can have a good game. I think the running game can have a good game. But what's going to happen if you're in a game where, you know, the Cardinals are actually executing in the red zone? They're scoring touchdowns. I don't have faith in Shane Waldron to call enough plays where we can actually go out there and get touchdown for touchdown and not just field goals here or touchdown here. I don't have faith in the consistency, and that's what I'm worried about with these next 10 games. Like, I'm not worried about that Patriots game, whether it's, you know, it's, and not say the Patriots can't beat the Bears because anybody can beat the Bears. That's how I feel. But, you know, if there was any game that I'm least worried about, it would be that one. But you go in a Patriots game, you're 4-4, and you beat the Patriots, you're 5-4. 5-4 heading into that gauntlet, that's –
But my thing is this. I'm not even as worried about the gauntlet. Like, I know you've been talking about it for some weeks and calling it like the gauntlet from hell and that. I'm not worried about it because we are seeing when it comes to division play, anything can happen. The Vikings went up huge on the Packers, and the Packers came back, and the Vikings almost goofed. The Lions were up big on the Vikings. The Vikings came back, and then the Lions took over. You know, we're seeing – Browns Ravens. You're seeing Jets Patriots. You would never expect a Patriots team, even though the Jets are that bad, you know, to go and pull out that win. So I think, and then there's a lot of injuries around the league, and there's some pretty big teams. We don't know what Jordan Love looks like. It looks like he's going to give it a go this week against the Lions. You tell me, Dan Campbell. And his mentality and the way he coaches his guys and the way he has his guys prepared. You don't think they're going to try to rip fucking Jordan Love's groin off the bone? So, okay. 100%. So they go and do that. You're probably facing a Malik Willis team.
Now,
so
when, I'm done looking. Malik Willis beat the Bears? That would be
no,
peak Bears.
No, fuck no.
That would be peak Bears.
I would. What? I put money on it. But my thing is this. Just we got to go week to week. Because we thought last week was a layup, and then we started talking, oh, go to the Cardinals, and Cardinals suck. Cardinals go to Miami and lose. Excuse me. Nope. That's a last-minute win off a field goal. The 49ers game, last-minute win. So that's a team that knows how to play till the clock says 0-0. That's a team that knows how to stay in it. So just one game at a time. I would not be shocked if the Bears win.
No, I
would
not.
I would not be shocked if they lose. Yeah. I just have to. I'm in your mode now. I just got to see it first.
Yeah, yeah, and that's probably what my hesitation is with the division. Yeah, I get with division games, stats, record, all that stuff go out the window because you got four teams that know each other better than any teams in the league. You know what I'm saying? The Browns had one win, but they played the Ravens probably better than anybody I've seen this year because they're in the same division. Like you just said. The Patriots, even they lost Drake May. Didn't matter. They still won. So, yeah, I believe they'll be in it. But, like you said, I got to see it. And it's even further me down the line, whatever changes next year with coaching, if it does at all, I still got to see it. And there's so much football. It's 10 games, bro. It is 10 games. It's 2.5 more months of the NFL season. A lot can change. I just feel like this game right here is the biggest one because if any playoff hopes, I believe, I'll say playoff hopes because you just said you could probably the NFC. There's gonna be some weird stuff that I believe is gonna happen in November and December. Always happens in the NFL. I mean, the Bears as bad as they played last year. The Bears were in the playoff hunt towards the end. When they lost to the Browns, that pretty much killed it. But for a couple weeks, they're in it. So I believe that they'll be in it situation scenario wise. But if they want to control their own fate. Or have a path to control in their own desk, they got to win on Sunday. So that's why I'm very interested to see how this team is going to come out this Sunday. And it's really, like DJ says, it's going to tell me a lot about this team because last time I did like how they came out against the Rams after being 1-2, and they were able to find a way to win that ball game. And by the way, I'm so glad that Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua did not play that game because Lord have mercy.
Man, what? What?
Lord have mercy.
I'm looking right now. So remember yesterday I sent me ready to jump off the ledge when I sent the Bears play when I sent the Bears playoff probability.
Yeah.
Right. So right now they are just based off record, they're 4-3. So they're the first team that's looking out of the wild card hunt. Mm. Right now they have a 17% chance. So it went down by 1.4%. If they win, it goes up to 25. If they lose, they have a 10% chance because you would have already lost to the Commanders. And just simple math, the Eagles are 5-2. The Commanders are 6-2. Eventually, they'll play each other. I think both of those teams get 10 wins. You're going to need 10 to 11 wins to get that wild card. 10 to 11 wins,
100%. 100% because I think there's going to be two teams for the NFC East. And I think it's going to be three from the NFC North. And it might be two from the NFC West. It might be two from the NFC West.
But with that, with that, with them being 4-4, yeah, you got to beat the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Because, and you just got to, you got to keep it churning. And then when you get with the Niners in December,
Niners,
you see what it is right there, because those two, they're going to flip flop. You got three teams in that division that are 4-4, you know, 4-4. And the Rams are one game out, and you already got them faded, but they're so far down. You know, what's crazy is the Rams have a higher probability than us to get in the playoffs, and that's just simply because they're only a game.
They got the guys, but it says, can we sneak? Yeah, we can sneak. Look, I'm not worried. I think they can beat either team. Green Bay, I'm not picking them until it happens.
I think they can beat Minnesota, and I think they can get Green Bay at home for us. I don't think they can fuck with Detroit.
You don't think they can beat Detroit at all?
Not from what I'm seeing from that offense. Them motherfuckers are scoring 6 million points every week.
I just feel like
on anybody. It has to be on the road.
Obviously, you know, each year is different, but I just feel like the Bears always match up well with Detroit. Like, and like I said about Stafford, I'm saying about Goff, he going to throw us one or two.
What do the Bears not do well this year? As good as last year. Stopping the run. What are the Lions doing?
Running the ball.
I read a stat. Demo and Gibbs played like 19 games together, like healthy. They've both scored touchdowns in like 14 of those 19 games.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Like, so you know, I tell myself don't get ahead of myself, but then I get ahead of myself because you start thinking. But I think honestly, you know, Jameson Williams means nothing to me.
Look at
what Tim Patrick is doing. Look at what Khalif Raymond is doing. They are giving the ball to everybody.
Bro, they blowing people out. And if you want to be real, Amon-Ra ain't even having a great season.
He's real low-key season for him this year. He just started scoring touchdowns the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you got to go and take care of the Cardinals, you know, it's going to be about containing the run and hopefully learning from what you saw Jaden Daniels do, you know, obviously in the RPO and what he can do, you know, getting outside and with his legs. And hopefully, you know, seeing two dual threat quarterbacks back to back, you can kind of, you know, have a better game plan for that. But it's going to be all eyes on Caleb Williams and this offense and Shane Waldron. And then it's going to be all eyes on the person who is going to be on Marvin Harrison Jr. 90% of the time. And that will be number 29, Tariq Stevenson. So,
I'm really watching the guy. He's going to bounce back as well.
I hope that this was a growing experience for him in a teaching moment, because he needs to get his head out of his ass and grow up, because they do not throw to Jalen Johnson. They are going to throw at you all year long until you prove that you can stop it and that you can hold it. And that's not just from a play-to-play standpoint. That's also between the ears. You can't have these fucking penalties in between plays. You just got to shut the fuck up and lock up. And they're just – he's just got to grow up.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that, man. We're going to wrap it up with our game picks. We're not going to give scores because I don't 100% know my score yet. I'll give that on – I'm not going to hold you on Friday. But just pick wise, Mikey, who you got this week?
I say all that to say this. I said I can't take the Bears, but I'm going to take the Bears because I do think it's going to be a takeaway late that decides this game. I don't think it's going to be a runaway game either way. Cardinals, I don't see them putting up 40 and us not scoring. And I don't see us putting up 40 and them not scoring. So give me the Bears in another close one. And hopefully the following week we're coming back with home where they're undefeated this season and they can probably, you know, do what they've done to the teams that they did in early September and get out to a comfortable lead early.
For me, I've had this as a loss since the schedule came out. There's something about those weird early, not really early, but weird West Coast games for the Bears. I 100% could see them winning. I could 100% see them winning. The Cardinals aren't that good of a team where they just, they can dominate. I think it's going to go down to the wire. But, like, I'm in see it mode. I don't know how they're going to respond to the adversity that they have that they're facing right now. And I just think the Arizona, more than anything, they're playing a little better right now. So, I'm going to go Cardinals. I reserve the right to change my pick in the next 48 hours. when we get to I'm not going to hold you. But for right now, I'm going to go Arizona. And I just want to see some resilience this weekend. I would love to be wrong, man. So that's all we got for y'all today on 79th and Hallis. We'll be doing a pod after the game on Sunday. I don't know if my brother's going to be available to do it. We'll see. Hopefully he feels better on Sunday. Neither one of us will be at the game, but this is our last game that we're going to miss this year. We'll be back doing the remainder 9 games for the rest of the season. We'll be back on it next week. So, you can follow me on all social media platforms and at Barb Chair Scott. Mikey, thanks for filling in for flows today. You can follow Mikey at Junior_Solito on Twitter. And of course, man, you can follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net. Follow 79th and Hallis at 79th and Hallis on Twitter. Subscribe to the Patreon, man. If you scan the screen, this QR code will take you right to the link. If you missed the stream, this is going to go right up on the Patreon right now. And if you subscribe for first time to the All Access tier, you will get a 25% off code that you can use on the Barber's Chair Network shop. That is bcnetshop.com, man. So that is all we've got for y'all. It's a big World Series game about to come off in 30 minutes. That's going to go down. We're either going to be talking game 6 on Friday, or we're going to be talking about the Dodgers won the championship. So we'll be talking a little bit of baseball on Friday as well, man. So that's all we got for y'all. We're going to holler at y'all. We up out of here.
Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis in your ears. You. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.